Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Blevins.
Here.
Flickery.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Campbell.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Coleman.
Here.
Connolly.
Here.
Davison. Davison. Eklund.
Here.
Esquivel. Esquivel. Filer.
Here.
Freeman.
Here.
Gay.
Here.
Gingery.
Here.
Goggles.
Here.
Greer. Greer. Green.
Here.
Halverson.
Here.
Harshman.
Here.
Harshman.
Here.
Harvey.
Here.
Hunt.
Here.
Hutchings. Hutchings.
Here.
Yagi.
Here.
Kasparik.
Here.
Kirkbride.
Here.
Croker.
Here.
Crone.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Lockhart.
Here.
Laux.
Here.
Madden.
Here.
McKim.
Here.
Miller.
Here.
Moniz.
Here.
Nicholas.
Here.
Northrup.
Here.
Patton.
Here.
Paxton.
Here.
Petroff.
Here.
Pieperinen.
Here.
Reeder. Reeder. Simlet.
Here.
Summers.
Here.
Stubson.
Here.
Peters.
Here.
Throne. Wallace,
here.
Walters,
here.
Watt,
here.
Wilson,
here.
Winters,
here.
Swanitzer Dan,
here.
Swanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
Davison,
excused.
Davison excused, Esquivel,
here.
Greer,
here.
59 present, 1 excused.
Prayer of the day is offered by Father August Keeney, representing the St. Mary's Cathedral, Cheyenne.
Let us pray. A reading from St. Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. According to St. Paul, charity or love is the greatest virtue and gift. According to philosophers and counselors, love lifts and heals the human spirit faster than any other thing. There's a story of Mother Teresa of Calcutta, where one day she and her sisters of charity are walking through the back streets of Calcutta. They found a poor Hindu man dying in the street. They carefully took him back to their clinic. They cleaned, washed, and fed him. Mother Teresa knew that he did not have long to live. A sister was assigned to him night and day so that he would not die alone. 3 days later, Mother Teresa came to check on him. The Hindu man recognized her presence and spoke his first words since coming to the clinic. I have never been so loved in all my life, and now I can die and go to God. Lord God, infinite love, all of your creation is a sign of your wisdom and love. May the spirit of charity and love always fill this hall, so when there are difficult decisions to be made, charity and love may be present, so to lift the human spirit and make positive changes and decisions for the good of the people of Wyoming. Amen.
Thank you.
With that order of business, the Journal Committee report.
Your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 21st, 2013 has been read and recommends that it be approved. It is signed by Representatives Filer and Winters.
I'd like to congratulate the Chairman of the Judiciary Day on Gingrey Day in the Senate. Congratulations, Mr. Chairman. Representative Goggles.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor?
Certainly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This morning, members of the House, it is my distinct honor as a grandparent, as a grandfather, to introduce our junior page for today. This is Skylar Renee Shakespeare. She's a fourth grader and 9 years old at 9 years old from Wyoming Indian High School, or Wyoming Indian Elementary. Excuse me. Mr. Chairman, I would be remiss not to introduce her family, her mother, my namesake, Patricia, her dad, Travis, my grandsons there, Kirkland Jr., J-Man, we call him, my wife, Charlotte, Turtle, and my sister-in-law, Gloria. Welcome to the house.
Welcome to the House. Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members of the 62nd, we got introduced to a lovely family. I'd like to introduce you to part of my family. Every year, I try to do something that expands the people that I know and influence. This year, I got to join you. Maybe there's another opportunity coming. But last year, I got to be a part of Leadership Wyoming and participate in that process. And so, folks, up in the gallery on our south side is part of my family, the class of 2013, Leadership Wyoming. Please welcome them to the House. Please stand up.
Welcome to the House. Any other privileges of the floor?
Mr. Speaker?
Madam Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you. Well, it is with great honor that I'm a part of that Leadership Wyoming family, and I just wondered if I could ask all House members that were a part of Leadership Wyoming, I was going to say stand up, but maybe sit down. Stand up if you're a part of Leadership Wyoming. Good. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Welcome to the House. The nurse of the day today is Toma Nisbet from Mobile Health Services. Welcome to the House. With that, we are at that order of business of request to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill. The first message for our consideration is message number 364 on House Bill 18. Madam Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence of message 364 to House Bill 18 and ask for your aye vote. Ladies and gentlemen, what this does is just add a reporting requirement to the commission in regards to the telecom bill. So with that, if there are no questions, I would ask for an aye vote.
Any discussion? We're voting on a motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 18. The majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Farlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison. Davison excused. Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer. Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup, Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 59 aye, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 18. Representative Goggles, privilege of the floor.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. Grandpa has to apologize because he forgot somebody. Grandpa's sorry. Our page that was here for us a couple weeks ago, my granddaughter, Shiloh, would you please stand? Shiloh Underwood. Yeah.
Shiloh, welcome back to the House. The next message for our consideration is message number 366 on House Bill 134. Chairman Simlett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on message number 366 on House Bill 134, Private Roads, and ask for your aye vote. This was this is the private road bill. Some of the language that was removed in here, you can find that on page 3, line 7, and it says, and may include the state of Wyoming. That has been removed. This is the part of the change that we did when we went from taking this private road matter up to the district court, and this was just some of the changes that were made. If further explanation is needed than that, we'd have to ask someone else to do that. But I think he's coming up to do that now.
Mr. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I'd ask you to vote aye on this. This resolves a great theoretical argument that's been raging among the attorneys back there. The previous language did say that the state of Wyoming could be included. However, we're talking about eminent domain, and the question would be, can the sovereign condemn its own property? And I think this correction is correct. I don't think state of Wyoming should be in there. So I'd ask you to vote aye on the amendment.
Any further discussion? We're voting on a motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 134. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman. Coleman. Connolly.
Aye.
Davison. Excused. Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer. Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery.
Aye.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi. Kasparik, Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne, Wallace,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
Coleman,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Gay, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 3 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 134. The next message for our consideration is message number 367 on House Bill 139. Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move message number 367 for House Bill 139, the Uniform Trust Code. There are two amendments. One was in standing committee. It's a standing committee amendment that came out of the Judiciary Committee on the other side that just simply says that the Department of Health can file liens if they so choose, and nothing constrains them from doing that. And then the second amendment is the ongoing grammatical war being waged against the word such. I'm thinking perhaps the LSO attorneys might just want to surrender to the good chairman of health on the other side. That war seems to have been lost. Those are the two amendments. I'd urge you to vote aye.
We are voting on a motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 139. The majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickery.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Byrd. Campbell,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Coleman,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Davison, excused, Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Filer,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson, Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Nicholas, Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters, Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
By your vote, you voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 139, such as it is. The next message for our consideration is message number 368 on House Bill 145. Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move message number 368 on original House Bill 145, insurance coverage of inherited enzymatic disorders, and urge your aye vote on this. The Senate changed one little section on page 3 of the bill. It says, for purposes of this section, inherited enzymatic disorders includes, and this is what they added, and is limited to, and then there's the laundry list of things that we will now require insurance companies to pay for. So I think that it is a good amendment to limit to those enzymatic disorders that exist, that are identified. There's very few people in Wyoming that use this, and I would just urge concurrence on this. It is a limiting amendment.
We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 145. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison excused. Eklund.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Filer.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Gingery. Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas. Northrup.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Paxton.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Reeder.
No.
Semlick.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Stubson.
No.
Peters.
Aye.
Throne. Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Walters.
No.
Watt.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Gay, aye to no. Laux, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 49 aye, 10 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 145. The next message for our consideration is message 370 on House Bill 172. Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence of message number 370 to House Bill 152 and ask you to vote either aye or no. You cannot do conflict. Basically, the amendment that the other body put on does not change the bill. It is simply that word of such to the. So for those of you who are wanting to have the showdown, I suppose this is the perfect opportunity, but I will leave it to you.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I did just want to educate the body while I had a chance that I did learn that there is a specific term for this type of amendment in the other body, and it's called desuccinating.
We are voting on a motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 152. Vote aye or no. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickrey.
No.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly. Davison excused. Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer. Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
No.
Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
No.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Hutchings.
No.
Yagi.
Aye.
Kasparik.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
No.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
No.
Larson.
No.
Lockhart. Laux.
Yes.
Laux?
Aye.
Madden? Madden? McKim? Miller? Moniz? Nicholas? Northrup? Patton? Paxton? Petroff? Pieperinen? Reeder? Semlick? Summers? Subson? Teeters? Throne? Wallace? Walters? Watt? Wilson? Winters? Swanitzer Dan? Swanitzer Dave? Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Miller? Aye to no. Are there any other changes? Watt? Aye to no. Crone? No to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 37 aye, 22 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted barely to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 152. The next message for our consideration is message number 373 on House Bill 91. Chairman Teeters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm not going to urge you to vote aye or no. We definitely need a no this time. And I move message 373 concurrence requested on House Bill 91. I was pretty comfortable with the changes that the Senate made up until the point when they reinserted the compass test back into 12th grade on third reading. And they were successful in holding that back until that reading. And because of that, I think there's a pretty good chance that we'll be able to compromise on it. But our position, our longstanding position, has been that that is not a data point that has a whole lot of science behind it, because that test was never intended to be used for the purpose in which they're trying to use it. So I would urge you to please vote no.
Any further discussion? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 91. The majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Baker. Barlow.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
No.
Blevins.
No.
Flickery.
No.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Bird.
No.
Campbell. Kennedy,
no.
Coleman,
no.
Connolly,
no.
Davison, excused, Eklund,
no.
Esquivel,
no.
Filer,
no.
Freeman,
no.
Gay,
no.
Gingery,
no.
Goggles,
no.
Greer,
no.
Green,
no.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey,
no.
Hunt,
no.
Hutchings,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Kasparic,
no.
Kirkbride,
no.
Croker, Crone,
no.
Larson,
no.
Lockhart,
no.
Laux,
no.
Madden,
no.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Northrup,
no.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
no.
Petroff,
no.
Pieperinen,
no.
Reeder,
no.
Semlick,
no.
Summers,
no.
Stubson,
no.
Teeters,
no.
Throne,
no.
Wallace, Walters,
no.
Watt,
no.
Wilson,
no.
Winters,
no.
Swanitzer Dan,
no.
Swanitzer Dave,
no.
Mr. Speaker,
no.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 1 aye, 58 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have voted not to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 91. Conference Committee for House Bill 91 will be Teeters, Chairman, Stubson, and Blickery. We're now at that order of business of consideration of Joint Conference Committee reports. The first Joint Conference Committee report for our consideration is Conference Committee Report Number 1 on House Bill 175. Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to move a Joint Conference Committee report to House Bill 175 and ask you to vote aye. We reached a compromise between the House position and the Senate position, and all the constituent groups are happy with this language. And you may recall that
The Senate took the bill back to its original House form and perhaps put too many burdens on law enforcement, so we've removed the words all and necessary, and law enforcement is comfortable with this, so it would read now that law enforcement must take reasonable actions to notify parents when citations are issued. So I think it's a good balance, and again, I'd urge your aye vote.
Any discussion? We're voting on Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on House Bill 175. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison. Excused. Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Filer. Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Green,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Hutchings,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Kasparic,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lauks,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on House Bill 175. Chairman Harshman, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, I draw your attention. I believe it's the South Balcony. We have some special guests from Casper here today. And as a former Life Scout, and I know many of you are former Boy Scouts, and these young guys have been working on their citizenship merit badge. They're from Troop 1035 in Casper. Sponsors here today, and Scoutmasters are Tim Postal, Jack Hardy, Brian Black, and Matt Gardner. So they're going to have a great day in Cheyenne and tour around and kind of the culminating event, as I said, on their citizenship badge. So welcome to the House, gentlemen.
Go ahead, stand up. Stand up. Welcome to the House. The next conference committee report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on Senate File 28. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on House Message Number 340, Senate File 28. This was a long-term effort by the Minerals Committee in the interim to bring a resident preference provisions to our contracting practices in the state of Wyoming. We met with a like group on the Senate side, which had two members that didn't go through the interim. By the time we brought them up to speed with what we had experienced in this long process, they agreed with our suggestions, and I would urge your aye vote. It is a very good step. I think it's worthwhile to note that this we want to keep this in place for a couple of years to see how all it works, and if there's any improvements, we'll try to add to them in the future. So I'd urge your aye vote.
Any discussion? We're voting on Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to Senate File 28. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger. Berger. Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Connolly?
Aye.
Davison excused. Eklund?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Filer?
Aye.
Freeman?
Aye.
Gay?
Aye.
Gingery?
Aye.
Goggles?
Aye.
Greer?
Aye.
Green?
Aye.
Halverson?
Aye.
Harshman?
Aye.
Harvey?
Aye.
Hunt?
Aye.
Hutchings?
Aye.
Yagi?
Aye.
Kasparik?
Aye.
Kirkbride?
Aye.
Croker?
Aye.
Crone?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Lockhart?
Aye.
Laux?
Aye.
Madden?
Aye.
McKim?
Aye.
Miller?
Aye.
Moniz?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Northrup?
Aye.
Patton?
Aye.
Paxton?
Aye.
Petrov?
Aye.
Pieperinen?
Aye.
Reeder?
Aye.
Semlick?
Aye.
Summers?
Aye.
Stubson?
Aye.
Teeters?
Aye.
Throne?
Aye.
Wallace?
Aye.
Walters?
Aye.
Watt?
Aye.
Wilson?
Aye.
Winters?
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan?
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave?
Aye.
Mr. Speaker?
Aye.
Berger?
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to Senate File 28. The next Joint Conference Committee report is Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on Senate File 36. Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on Senate File 36 Conference Report and ask you to vote aye. You'll remember this is the publication requirements for insurance. And so what we did in our conference committee, we went back to the original bill as introduced, and then we decided on language. You'll see there in the bottom of the conference report that says the commissioner shall cause to be published no less than 6 times per year and no more than 12 times per year in newspapers of general circulation, these insurance access advertisements for the department. We did take out the sunset date, but we did place in department shall report to our committee by 2015 to make sure that this approach is going to work. We had a lot of talk that this is hopefully a balanced approach. It's better than the current law, and we still believe that in the upcoming years people are going to need to find access to insurance information, and we're hoping this is a good approach. I'd be happy to answer any questions. Otherwise, encourage your aye vote.
We're voting on Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on Senate File 36. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Blickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison excused. Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel. Filer, Freeman, Gay, Gingery, Goggles, Greer, Green, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Hutchings, Yagi, Kasparik, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petrov,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Semlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 1 no, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on House Bill 36. The last Joint Conference Committee report for our consideration today is Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on Senate File 159. Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to Senate File 159 and ask for your favorable consideration. And you may recall what we did is we narrowed the focus of this bill. It was originally intended just to talk about electronic communications and electronic threats. But as it came over, it applied to any person, even if the threat wasn't made directly to the person. And we narrowed that down. There was some concerns by the Senate sponsor that it was a little bit too narrow. And he came up with, a really good solution to it. And as you see, we broke out the two types of threats. One is essentially a death threat. And that can the application of the statute is a little broader to that. It's a death threat to the person, to the person's immediate family, or to fellow, essentially classmates at a person's school. Those all would be considered a misdemeanor. And then when we're talking only threats of injury or threats of harm to property, then we kept it the narrow version this, the House had, which is a threat directly to the person or to the person about the person's immediate family. So I think it's a good balance. It gets to the purpose of the bill, and I'd ask you to vote aye.
We're voting on Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to Senate File 159. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt a report. The Chief Clerk will call a roll.
Baker.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Bird.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Coleman.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Davison excused. Eklund.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Filer,
Freeman, Gay, Gingery, Goggles, Greer, Green, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Hutchings, Yagi, Kasparic, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup, Patton,
aye.
Paxton,
aye.
Petroff, Pieperinen, Reeder, Simlick,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Cheaters,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Watt,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 59 aye, 1 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on Senate File 159.
We are at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 48.
Senate File 48, introduced by Senator Perkins, an act relating to Medicaid.
Senate File 48, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 55.
Senate File 55 from the Education Committee, an act relating to a statewide energy and natural resource education initiative.
Senate File 55, having been read a second time, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 60.
Senate File 60 from the Labor Committee, an act relating to the Medicaid program.
First amendment for our consideration is Amendment Number 1, second reading to Senate File 60, Representative Crooker.
Thank you. I'd like to move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 60. This is a very simple amendment, but there was a concern that I had with this bill. On page 2, section D, about entering into the managed care programs, one of the national companies that does is an actuarial firm, has estimated that entering into one of those programs could cost a lot of money because of the way it's taxed under the Affordable Care Act. And so I'm not opposed to the study. I'm not opposed to initiating the process of getting federal approval, but I just want to add to that at the end that that they shall not implement those plan amendments without further legislative approval. So they can study it, they can start the paperwork, but I think we as a body need the chance to see the study and make sure that it's not going to increase costs before we give them final approval to actually enter into the program. So that's the amendment. I'll stand for any questions.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. Talk about a delicate dance. And I certainly understand the motivation behind this this amendment. However, I would urge your defeat of this amendment. It is a very delicate dance when we start to negotiate with the federal government with all of the programs that we deal with them. And if we do not give legislative approval for them to start the process of the paperwork, then the paperwork will go no further, and it sets us behind that much longer. So what this does, if we leave it the way it is in the bill, then it allows us to negotiate with some companies that do provide managed care. We visited with several along the way. There are many different ways to do it. The question is, how do we want to do it? And I think that we need to be able to study it. And then, if we want to implement it, it takes about somewhere between 5 and 18 months to get approval from CMS for any program that we do. They will not begin the approval process or even look at our applications with this amendment on, because it stops everything from moving forward. Then what we're doing is not entering into negotiations with the federal government. We are saying, well, if the legislature then approves, then maybe we could go ahead and do this. So I would urge you to defeat this amendment. I can tell you that every single state that has entered into the managed care program with their Medicaid has seen significant reductions in their Medicaid costs. But I also have to tell you that there are companies out there that are being sued because of their management of Medicaid managed care. So let us negotiate. Let us look at plans. Let us talk to vendors. Let us start the process. And if we don't like it, we can still stop it next session. We don't have to have this to slow things down. It's already slowed down. Let us look at this. Let us start into some of the negotiations. And then if we don't like it, it's not going to be ready by next session anyway. It's going to be close. Then we can stop at next session.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Pro Tem, I sat on the interim labor health this summer, and the managed care was an interesting concept, and I think we may end up going down that road. It actually had a lot of benefits to it. It's a scary road, though. I mean, there's a lot of questions. I don't mean scary like that. I mean, just a lot of questions and issues. The amendment, though, I'd actually ask you to vote aye for the amendment, because if you actually read the sentence, what it's saying is they're going to do an evaluation of enhanced use of managed care. So they're going to look into it. They'll explore. It says the department shall explore the use of managed care. And then it says the managed care plan shall include identification of goals, outcome measurements, and evaluation tools. And then the important sentence here, it says the department may initiate the process of federal approval for necessary state plan amendments. So we're not blocking them. The department, if they so choose, they can start the process of getting federal approval. So we're not stopping them from moving forward. All that the good bringer of this amendment is saying, he just adds to the end of it, but shall not implement those plan amendments without further legislative approval. So the department will have full ability to fill out the application, submit it to the feds. The feds say, yeah, that looks like you've come up with a good plan. We approve that. And then there'd just be this extra step of just coming back to the legislature and say, legislature, are you really sure you want to do managed care? Now, I think we're actually probably going to end up saying, yeah, we want to do managed care. But there needs to be that one more step in there that they actually come back to us. Because how this is sort of written right now, I mean, the way it's written, it says the department may initiate the process. I think Department of Health is going to be a little confused themselves. Does that mean they can go ahead and start it? Or does it just give them the power to start the process? At some point, there needs to be some clarification that what we intended by that sentence was, hey, Department of Health, don't actually do this. You know, go ahead and get federal approval, but you got to come back here and actually get the legislature to give you the green light to do managed care. I think this is a good amendment, and I'd urge you to vote aye.
Chairman Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. Actually, I agree wholeheartedly with the comments that were just made, except that the federal government will not begin those conversations with us if they see we are not interested, or we have not allowed the department to do so, and we don't have any intent probably of following through. So it's not that they may not be willing and we are not willing. It's that they don't see a dedication on our part with this language to moving forward, and they won't take the time to deal with this. So I would ask you to defeat this amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else prior to the sponsor? Yeah, second time. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. Just in response to that last comment, that really concerns me now, because how I was reading this bill was that we were studying a lot of these things. We were just studying managed care. We were looking into it. From those last comments, it appears what we're saying is we're moving ahead. We're going to go ahead and do managed care. So understand what you're voting for now. This is a bill to go ahead and implement managed care in the state of Wyoming. I wasn't understanding that in this bill before. I think you need the amendment so that they can study it, look into it, then come back to us, and we have a really strong debate on managed care. I'm not sure if we're all on board right now to move ahead with managed care. That concerns me. If that's what this bill is about, then we need to kill the whole bill. I would prefer that they look into managed care, then come back and say, hey, we looked into it. Can we have full legislative approval to actually implement it and to do it? Otherwise, I'm probably a no, but simply because I think there's just too many questions still on managed care that haven't been answered.
Chairman Harvey.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. Actually, all of those questions were answered in our last committee meeting, and we had a full and rounded discussion about this. There were some members that were not present in that full and rounded discussion, and the final answer is, if we want to look at saving Medicaid dollars, if we want to look at managed care, if we want to look at, and some of the things we heard were just fantastic about how managed care can operate, we still have the opportunity to stop it next session if we don't like it. The committee is going to be following this all the way through. We can stop at any time along the interim if we want to. But by putting this amendment on, we are delaying things for another full year. I would urge a no vote on this amendment.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I would encourage you to vote aye. I don't think I have anything more to add. I think we've had a good discussion, so thank you.
Hearing no further discussion, calling for the question, all those in favor of second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 60, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The chair is in doubt. Please stand for aye. I shouldn't be in doubt. The amendment has failed. We're on to the second amendment to second reading of Senate File 60. And that would be Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
The younger man.
So far. I move second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 60 and ask for its favorable introduction. And this is the amendment for Wyoming to go into the optional expansion of Medicaid program here in 2013. The Senate had the discussion on a bill over there, and I thought it was certainly important that we also had the discussion if we want to do this in our body. So according to our own department of health department, this amendment saves $47.4 million in costs over the next 6 years if we take this step. This expansion doesn't cost Wyoming anything for the next 3 years. And then after 2016, you know, the share of our coverage will gradually increase to 10% by the year 2020. There are some concerns, I know, with taking this step that the feds will not get their act together and meet their 90% match for this optional expansion group. And this bill does, or this amendment, still does allow us to opt out of the program at that time should they not meet their obligation. You'll see on lines 24 and 25 of the amendment. But what this amendment does is it does ensure the 17,600 Wyomingites, according to our current statistics, that need this coverage. And I certainly come from a district in Wyoming that has a high proportion of people that will benefit from this coverage. And so I wanted to have the debate in this body. I'm sure it's going to be a great debate, and would happy to stand for any questions.
Representative Filer.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, Pro Tem. I was just going to add a little bit more to that. I'm on this amendment. There's a few things that, as we got the report from our Department of Health, there's a lot of offsets and costs. Right now, the mandatory expansion is going to cost us $79.4 million. The optional expansion will save the state in offsets about $126.8 million for combined savings to the state of about $47.4 million over by the year 2020. The Medicaid offsets, and if you look at your report from the Department of Health, page 18, prescription drug assistance, save us $6.2 million offset. Breast and cervical cancer treatments, $11.7 million offset. Pregnant by choice waiver, $0.4 million offset. Employed individuals with disabilities, $8.9 million in an offset. Mental health and substance abuse, $120.7 million offset. Wyoming State Hospital, $11.6 million offset. HIV, AIDS, medications, $2.3 million offset. Tobacco cessation, $6 million in offset. We're talking about 17,600 people in our state, our citizens, being insured. Without this, they will remain on state-funded programs because they don't qualify for Medicaid, and they won't qualify for subsidies in the federal exchange. There's absolutely no reason to believe that the federal government won't uphold their end of the deal. During the entire life of Medicaid, they have never backed out of the partnership. Anti-Obamacare governors in states, one with the big canyon in it, the state where my truck was built, the state where we get our oranges, and the state where gambling is legal, are all putting people above politics. There are about 548 people waiting for services on disability waivers in our state. At an average cost of $30,000, the total cost to the fund, everyone waiting would roughly be about $16.4 million, well under the $47.4 million saved from the expansion of Medicaid. This expansion could prevent 111 deaths over the next 5 years, page 20, Department of Health report. The hospitals in Wyoming reports that there was $200 million in uncompensated care in 2011. The cost of uncompensated care is passed on to everyone else using our hospital and healthcare system. If we expand Medicaid, it would reduce the amount of uncompensated care and save us all money on healthcare costs. It is estimated that money coming into the state from the expansion would create thousands of jobs. A study in the Department of Health report states that a state east of us will be adding 10,000 to 13,000 new jobs by the year 2020 for the Medicaid expansion. So I ask, we stand here today looking for ways to reduce these costs and programs. We should not ignore that the most common sense solutions this expansion would provide, the necessary savings necessary to make all these programs viable, functioning properly into the future. The duty of our legislature is to protect and promote the health of our citizens. The health of our citizens is essential to our well-being. We owe it to our constituents to have this discussion. Staff, for any questions.
Representative Kasprick.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. I would urge real caution on this amendment and encourage you to vote no. What we are learning as we go along is still how much we don't know. After attending a conference call yesterday where HHS is still unable to answer questions to specific concerns that the states have. I think that we need to watch this, watch how it grows, see what happens with the federal health benefit exchange, see what happens with the automatic expansion of Medicaid we're already going to have. And we can watch this through the year, prepare legislation before we come back next session, and bring that through the houses and still do Medicaid expansion and take part in that if we feel that it's the right thing for our citizens in our states. Or we also would have the opportunity to really study if there's some way Wyoming can do it better. So I would urge you to vote no on this amendment and vote for the bill. Thank you.
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. My question has to do with the number that was purported to this body about the optional expansion. And my understanding from previous conversations that I've had were that number was somewhere around 34,000. And I had heard this morning in testimony that it was 17. So I'm just curious what the actual expansion number is. That being said, I do appreciate the bringers of the amendment so that to bring this debate to the floor because I think it's important for this body to have the conversation. My largest concern with it all along has been what happens when the federal government doesn't hold up their end of the deal, and I appreciate the sensitivity to that in this amendment in that it says that we will roll back the expansion. My question is, politically, how do you expect this body to be able to take insurance away from 35,000 people if the federal government doesn't hold up their end of the deal?
Chairman Harshman, and then I'll...
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. Appreciate and what the good representative from Capital City said. Really, everything he said on the offsets are probably true. I mean, I think we see that, and we analyze this in appropriations. As appropriators, you think, well, gosh, it's going to save us a lot of money, particularly our state program. The big one where we grew government in the last decade is mental health substance abuse. There's no doubt in the department. We did some things with waivers as well that grew this department. But I would submit to you this amendment is not necessary at this time because, frankly, the governor has told his director of the department they will continue to study this option. We're going to continue to look at it. And I think to say that we're going to tack it on to this bill, which is a very important and necessary bill for our existing Medicaid program, I think is the wrong way to do this. We're going to continue to study. And so I'd urge you to defeat the amendment.
Madam Minority Floor Leader Throne.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. I would submit to you that why not now? I've heard this argument that I think is really a little shaky for the entire time we've been here now. Oh, we need more questions answered. What questions? Let's be specific. What questions need to be answered related to Medicaid expansion? What do we need to know that we don't already know? The federal government will pay 100% of the costs for a population in Wyoming that currently has no health insurance and no ability, even under the exchange, as I understand it, to get insurance. 17,000 people could face the situation I faced in April. And if I hadn't had health insurance, I would die. Now, do we really want to say that to 17,000 of our citizens when it saves us money? Saves us money. No one disputes the fact that it will save us money. Now, we can wait, but we'll delay implementation. So, what do we need to know that we don't know now? And as for this argument, what are we going to do when the feds don't pay? We're the smallest state in the country, population-wise, for goodness sakes. Don't you think that the big states on either coast are going to have a much huger fight than we are? And they're not turning down the money. And they'll fight that battle for us. We're not alone in this. So how are we going to take care of these 17,000 people? We're going to continue to send them to emergency rooms We're going to continue to let their health decline to the point where they either die or they cost us a whole bunch of money. But there is really no practical reason for not doing this, and that's why the state, with the gorgeous coastlines and the home of Mickey, one of the homes of Mickey, their state actually filed the lawsuit we joined. Their governor led the charge all the way to the Supreme Court. And even he now realizes that for very practical reasons, dollars and cents, that he will support Medicaid expansion in his state. And here we are, waiting for what? I don't know. And in response to the good chairman of education's question, and someone can correct me if I'm wrong, I believe the $34,000 is the combination of the mandatory, we don't have a choice about, plus the optional. But really, I guess I'm just waiting for someone to tell me what we need to know that we don't already know. And if someone answers that question, I'd be happy. Thank you.
Representative Esquivel.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. I was one of two members on this body that served on the Medicaid expansion option study. That was 3 years ago. As the previous speaker said, what is it we don't know? I handed out to you a two-page form that shows you what it could mean for the state of Wyoming. And really, all you have to do is look at those two lines on state net. So that first line, that is the expansion costs and offsets for the mandatory group that we are going to cover. That's what we call the Woodwork effect and the children that are going to be in the mandatory expansion. And the second set of numbers you see under state net is what happens with the expansion. So, many of you are businessmen. If I came to you and said your business could get $47 million positive net gain for your business, would you still vote no? Now, Madam Speaker Pro Tem, pursuant to Rule 12.4 on the second reading amendment number 2, I will call for the ayes and nays.
May I ask who the second was on that? Representative Byrd. Okay. Representative Larson, for your first time.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Members of the House, I just would remind you that it's because Wyoming exercises caution and Wyoming does perhaps move a little slower than some of the other states that we are in the fortunate position that we're in financially and the fortunate position that we are in politically. In response to the last speaker's question, you know, if somebody would come to me as a businessman with that proposal, there's an old saying, if it sounds too good to be true, then it probably isn't. And I think that we just really need to be careful and exercise caution. I don't think we want to depend on other states to protect us. We've seen how well they protected us with our AML money. They were right there to grab onto it. I'm reminded of a poem I learned in first grade where there was one part that says, "Come into my parlor," said the spider to the fly. And I think that we just really want to be careful so that we don't get caught into a web that we can't get out of. I would encourage you to vote no on this amendment and allow us to make completely sure that what we're entering into will be for the benefit of all the citizens of Wyoming well into the future.
Representative Connolly.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. I'm in favor of this amendment. And friends, I'd like to draw your attention again to the two-pager that was handed out. And to notice that the author of this two-pager is not an advocacy group, but our own Wyoming Department of Health. It was presented to the Joint Appropriations Committee in December. And if you flip to the second side, the bottom line is, are there benefits to expanding Medicaid? And our Department of Health tells us yes. There are two primary benefits. And number one, is about the decrease in the number of uninsured Wyoming residents, approximately 83,000 people. And second, a decrease in the approximately $200 million of uncompensated care that hospitals experience each year as they serve the uninsured. These are important, important findings from probably our most unbiased organization in the state in terms of looking at this issue. There's lots of good information here, but again, I draw your attention to that bottom line. There have been questions about should we trust the federal government in terms of money? And again, I'd like to draw your attention to the reality of here in Wyoming. We accept hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars each year in terms of the Department of Ed, the Department of Transportation. We can go on and on in terms of federal money. And I think as kind of one member of this body will often stand up and say that Wyoming's tax policy is we pay a dollar and we get seven back from the feds, right? We do it all the time. And bottom line, this is about the people in Wyoming. And I'm sorry she's not here. I wanted to jump up and introduce you to one of those members of Leadership Wyoming. She's someone I honestly have on my speed dial. She is one of the vice presidents of the College of Health Sciences and the dean of the College of Nursing. But more importantly for this discussion, she and her family started the downtown clinic in my community, and they had us in before session to talk about healthcare in my community and about what the downtown clinic does. And she urged each and every one of us to do Medicaid expansion, that even though the philanthropy of her and her family, as well as a wide variety of medical providers in my community that help the uninsured, that provide services, it is nowhere near enough. And that they urged us to go down the path of Medicaid expansion. And with that, again, on and in favor of this amendment.
Representative Croker.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. On and against this amendment, I would also like to thank my good colleague who called for the ayes and the noes. I think that this is a very significant issue, and our votes deserve to go on record. But I would argue that, yes, we do have all the information that we need to know to make a decision, and that's why we should vote no. The whole argument about it's free money, it's coming from the federal government. Well, the federal government is broke. Where does this money come from? The analogy as far as a business owner being offered a huge chunk of money, if somebody came to me and said, I'll give you this huge chunk of money, you won't even have to repay it, but your children and grandchildren will, I wouldn't take it. I'm not going to obligate future generations to pay our responsibilities now. The fact that we take a lot of federal money isn't a reason that we should keep taking more. I would argue it's a reason we should probably look at some federal funds that we might need to do our part to sacrifice to help our country pay off its debt by refusing federal funds in other areas as well. It's just financially irresponsible to keep growing government and growing government and growing government. So please vote against this amendment.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. On and against the amendment, it's just crazy for us to keep going forward with stuff like this when we can't even get the guys in charge back in the East Coast there to decide exactly what the rules and regs are for the whole ACA are. So, again, hanging more stuff out there, it's kind of like the drug addict. Just give me another hit, and we'll figure it out later. Ask you to vote no.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. I just wanted to give the numbers. They did a really nice report. And one of the really nice things about Department of Health lately in the last few years, they've done some really nice reports, and the consultants that we've hired have done some nice jobs. So if you haven't read the consultant report, it's really well done. It's non-biased. It just gives you the facts. And I just want to make sure we all knew the numbers here. They're estimating that if we did expand Medicaid, that the savings would be, you know, potentially at the state hospital, 76 million, prescription drugs, 4 million, the CHIP program, 11 million, breast and cervical cancer, and then behavioral health outpatient, actually up to 114 million over the next, till 2020, so the next 5-6 years. So there are some offsets here. Those are pretty large offsets to take into your consideration, that potentially by doing the expansion, you actually end up saving some money. The other thing the report says is, here's someone that asked how many exactly. They're estimating, because you got the woodwork people that you're going to have to pay for anyway, which I think is the coolest term ever, woodwork, people coming out of the woodwork. So those people are going to have to pay for it. But the new people, because remember, what we already pay for children, and we pay for families that have children. So you're paying for those adults that have children. What this does is expand it to the single adults. And they're estimating at the low end, that'd be $11,500. At the high end, $22,900. Sort of in the middle would be about $17,000. So you're looking at between $11,000 and $22,000 being added to the rolls. For the next, and someone else can correct me, but for the next few years, they pay 100%. There are some costs that we'd have to come up with. 2014, they're estimating about $300,000. 2015, $700,000. 2016, close to $1 million. And then it goes up, because then the percentages start changing until you get till 2020, it goes to a 90-10 split. And that would be about $12.6 million per, starting in 2020, you'd be paying about $12.6 million. So I just want to make sure everyone knew the numbers, that for the next few years, you'd be paying a very small amount. By 2020, when it goes to the 90-10 split, it'd be $12.6 million is what you'd be paying. But also what the report says is that you'd be saving some money in these offsets on the state hospital, behavioral health, outpatient. And now, I don't know, those are pretty big numbers they give there. But, and I'm not sure how I'm going to vote on this, but I just wanted to make sure everyone had heard the actual numbers from the report.
Anyone else for their first time? Chairman Harvey?
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. Lots of questions, and I think that that's probably the biggest reason to vote no on this. This is not a new topic to me. In fact, I'm really tired of the weekly calls with the federal government and their lack of answers, their lack of rule promulgation, their lack of consistency. We had people on the call yesterday who said, we are to the end of our legislative session and we must have these questions answered by Monday. And they couldn't commit. There are a lot of unanswered questions, but here's the big deal. We are going to have a federally imposed health insurance exchange. It's coming. It's going to happen. It has the potential of destroying our insurance market in Wyoming. Anywhere from 30 to, some of the estimates are over 100% premium insurance increase. One of the reasons is because we have very small health insurance pools. If you took all of the people in the state of Wyoming and you put them all on one plan, you'd still have a small insurance pool. So now we're going to continue to fracture our insurance pools by adding an exchange. And we have the private market. And this doesn't seem related to Medicaid at all. I know it doesn't, but this is what my thoughts are. If we have any chance at all of bringing down insurance prices, it's going to be increasing the pools. I think we need to be in a better bargaining position with the federal government, because that seems to be where it's at, is that if you hold out long enough, then you can bargain. But if our insurance exchange goes the direction that all signs are indicating that it is going, we are going to have to do something to bring more people in. What I would like to see happen is that let the federal government see exactly for 1 year what happens with our health insurance exchange, and then work on an 1115 waiver, which is a block grant, a Medicaid block grant. With that block grant, we could turn around and buy insurance policies for some of these people, for the people, the expansion group, the childless adults. We can buy an insurance policy. We then increase our insurance pools. We hopefully can bring down some of the prices of insurance. And we have the opportunity for negotiation. As far as the coastal Well, first of all, I don't believe that implementation is imperative right now. I think that if we wait until our next legislative session, we can decide on implementation next February and have it fully implemented by April. We've been promised that. So we would lose 4 months of expansion. So we still have time to make a decision, and we still have time to gather data. Let's talk about our federal match. Wyoming is 50-50. While some of the coastal states, the federal government pays 66% of their match. And so even though they have more people, they pay lower amount per person, and it's based on an average income. We have people in my county that an average household of four, their income is $30,000 a year. So we've got people that are making billions of dollars that come and claim Wyoming as their residency to take advantage of our tax structure, and we're paying for it on the Medicaid match. We heard that there were 83,000 people that are uninsured, but I want to assure you that they do not all qualify for the Medicaid expansion. We sat in this chamber and listen to our U.S. Senator talk about budget cuts. Talked about a report done by a former U.S. Senator from Wyoming. He talked about how they're going to work on bringing the federal government's budget back into control. And entitlements was one of the things he talked about. This, folks, is an entitlement. The bottom line for me is gather more information, make an intelligent decision, come back next session with some data, with more of the rules promulgated, with the insurance plans that we will start receiving in our insurance commissioner's office in April. We will start receiving the plans that will be sold on the exchange. That'll happen April through July. In October, we'll be able to see who's going to buy on the exchange. We'll have those demographics. Who's buying? What's happening? How is this affecting our market? We're going to be able to hear from insurance agents and brokers as to what this has done to their business. This is not just about the uninsured. This is about a lot of businessmen across Wyoming who are going to be adversely affected by this decision. I beg of you to please defeat this amendment. Give this committee time to work on this. If we wait, if we decide that it is important that we go ahead and implement this Medicaid expansion, we only lose 4 months by waiting until next session. That's all. 4 months. So if it is the right thing to do, then we'll do it. If it's not the right thing to do, I think that at the bottom line, again, it's your money. It's your grandchildren. It's their future. That's what we're talking about. Do we want this system? Do we want it to be a part of Wyoming? Please vote no.
Mr. Minority Whip Byrd.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. First time to reserve a second time.
Anyone else for their first time? For your first time. Representative Green.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. I wasn't going to stand up and speak and bore you for 3 minutes, but I will, since we're going to do the ayes and nays anyways. So I'd like to set the conditions for how we're at least give some insight of what we studied over the last year and 4 interim labor health committee meetings in order to prep the battlefield for next year when we come back in the budget session, since I know how this is going to turn out. But I'll say at the labor meetings in September, we're receiving one of those Medicaid option studies briefings from the Department of Health. And I agree with the good chairman of our judiciary. I really applaud the department's efforts, and I recommend everybody to take a couple minutes and read through those statistics and how this will impact our state. There was one portion that said Medicaid recipients utilize the emergency room 3 times as often as people who have private insurance. So then I asked the question of Director Forsland, of the director of the department, how often do people who do not have insurance utilize the emergency room? And he said, we do not have that number. What we do have is that $200 million of uncompensated care to our hospitals in the state of Wyoming. So I would argue we already have universal health care in our country and in our state, and it's called the emergency room. And how are we going to combat that? And what are we going to do to become proactive instead of reactive? Instead of having people just go to the ER for having a toothache, how do we get them to see a dentist and be proactive instead of reactive? And I think Medicaid expansion goes in that direction. Obviously, I know how the battle is going to go today, and I agree that this is coercion. There's a reason why we changed our drinking age to 21 is because of federal funds. There's a reason every state took Medicaid is because of the 50-50 match, and some states is over 70 cents on the dollar. If I agree it is coercion because the federal government will pay for it. The state hospital, over 90% of that money that we spend there, one of the largest drivers of our general fund dollars is through state dollars, and we're trying to change that to federal dollars. I thank you for your 3 minutes.
Representative Goggles.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. Speaking on and for the amendment, we're on a path, and we are definitely on that path and going down this particular road. Whether it be a year from now and the 4 months that was alluded to, we are definitely on that path. And I believe that we should begin making those decisions today, whether you vote up or down. We'll make that decision on how we make it to that next point in the path. It's my own opinion, because I work around many folks that are uninsured, both off and on the district that I come from. And I see those folks. I encourage many of them to use resources that are currently available to them, but the problem is they don't have the access. And without that access, they don't have the ability to have the health care that many of you and I have. And that's 17,000 plus Wyoming citizens. So we're going down that road, folks. Either we do it now or we do it later. On and for the amendment.
Representative Barlow, and also Representative Barlow, when you finish up, I think you should do your privilege of the floor, too. Would you like to do that first?
Yes, I think, thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem, the privilege of the floor. Folks, just to get up and get some blood flowing in your backsides, if you will. Joining us in the gallery is a former speaker of this body, Mr. Rory Cross. Please welcome him to the House.
Welcome back, Speaker House, to the House.
I did offer him, Madam Chair, I did offer him the privilege of addressing us, and he said he had no wisdom to share with us. So.
Well, I don't believe in that, but I'm glad you're here to participate in our debate today. What a great time to be here. Thank you. All right, we're still on first reading of the amendment and our discussion, and Representative Barlow.
First time for my last time, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. Ladies and gentlemen, I happened to be in an event last night where the chief operating officer from the medical facility down the street was at. And he informed me that they are budgeting to double their budget for uncompensated care for 2014 based on what Wyoming will not do with Medicaid expansion. And just so we're clear, that's $50 million that they are anticipating at the facility down the street for uncompensated care due to the implications of the Affordable Care Act. So I don't know enough about what the implications are of the Affordable Care Act to support this amendment, but folks, in 2014, I will hold myself and I hope this body to the fire that we have got to act so that we don't actually impose unbelievable burdens on our care providers, those hospitals, because this gentleman's concern was, we are going to lose care because of the imposition if we don't start participating in a more proactive way. So thank you for your time, Madam Chair, for the last time.
Anyone else for their first time? For your first time. All right. For your second time, Representative Escobar.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. And my first year in the legislature is 2007. Served on Labor Health and Social Services. And it seems to me that we've been talking about this since then. A lot of late nights up there in the Labor Committee. And back then we had a doctor running the Department of Health. And I heard it said that the Department of Health was ran like a hospital. And then we elect a new chief executive and he hires a city manager to run the Department of Health to run it like a business. And he gets his facts together after the legislature comes to him with the Medicaid option study with our facts. And he shows us cost savings. Now serving on the money side of the legislature on the Appropriations Committee, I'm looking at this amendment strictly in a budgetary standpoint. So I really appreciate the debate. I think it's important for this body to have this debate because it's a road we'll eventually go down, and it's an important issue. And I think the citizens of the state of Wyoming need to know. But if the smallest state, as the previous speaker said, and population-wise, has a $200 million uncompensated trauma care bill, imagine what it is nationwide. Now, at that federal level, the cost savings were said to have been close to $1 trillion nationwide. Also, it was said maybe we shouldn't take any federal funds. And if we want to go down that road, I think the next big debate we'll have in this body will be whether or not we need to have a state income tax. So I guess I'll look forward to either one or the other debates in the future, but I really appreciate all the members of this body taking time to listen to it, to weigh the decisions that this body will face in the future or now. I guess it goes back to the old Fram oil filter commercial, pay me now, pay me later. Matter to me. Thank you very much, Madam Speaker Pro Tem.
Madam Minority Floor Leader Throne.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. And I too really appreciate this debate, and I think it's one that this floor needed to have just, you know, for the benefit of the public and to get us thinking about this issue, although I certainly urge all of you to vote aye. I am a realist. I have to say, and I appreciate the good chairman of Labor's comments and the information she provided, and I know that she has studied this issue in great detail and worked hard to chart a path forward for Wyoming. But I have to respectfully say that the questions I started with have not been answered. One, what do we need to know now about Medicaid expansion that we don't know? I think the questions of the Federal Insurance Exchange are unrelated because this is the population of people who work. They do work. This is the working poor who don't make enough money to buy insurance. And so I'm a little baffled by the interchange with how that relates to the insurance exchange. And second of all, the overriding question, I still don't believe anyone has said how we will get these people health care. It's a theory. The fact is we can get them health care starting in January 2014. Get them health care right away in January. No theory, no question, get them health care. 17,600 people in Wyoming currently without health care or access to affordable health care can get preventative care, stop going to the emergency room, save us money starting in January. Second of all, I think we have to set aside a couple of arguments about the federal government that really aren't relevant to the discussion. First of all, what happened with our AML money has absolutely nothing to do with this debate. Absolutely nothing. And while I truly appreciate the reference to The Spider and the Fly, one of my favorite childhood poems, I would say that we are already thoroughly ensnared in the federal web. for a variety of reasons. But the AML issue really is completely unrelated. Our state is the only state that lost money in some weird backroom deal in D.C., the kind we don't do here. We are the only state that lost AML money as it stands today. And AML is not a nationwide program, and it only applies to coal states. So just set aside that argument. A second argument you need to set aside is the deficit argument. A good senior, former retired senior senator who now appears on the Internet doing funny dances, his report said nothing, about the impacts of the ACA. It did call for entitlement reform, but all the objective reports that are out there predict that the ACA, over time, cuts the federal deficit. That hasn't been refuted. So the whole deficit argument is unrelated, and if, you know, again, if we're going to give up federal money, we ought to give up all federal money if we really want to help the deficit. And obviously, we all know we can't afford that in Wyoming. But I just want to close with, just think about what makes sense for Wyoming. It makes sense to get health care to our people. It makes sense to reduce the costs in the agency that's eating our budget. And it makes sense to take care of our citizens. Thank you.
Representative Zwanitzer. Oh, yes. Minority Whip Byrd.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. There's 17,000 people out there that are uninsured right now. I have a lot of them that probably live in my district, and each one of you probably have some that live in your district. They're not going to come forward and tell you that they're uninsured. That's one of those conversations that people don't like to have. They're not going to tell you that when they get sick, they're not going to be able to go to the emergency room or provide medical care for their family. That's one of those conversations that people just don't have. What we need to do is our job as legislators here and make sure that that conversation doesn't have to be had. So by stepping up and getting this done, we can get those services to our constituents who aren't going to come up and ask for those things. But we know in each and every district they're out there. You've seen them. And so now's the time where you really have to think is, why are you sitting in this chair? Are you going to serve some other interest, or are you going to serve your constituents? On and for the amendment, Madam Chair.
Representative Filer.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Pro Tem, I don't think we need to, I don't need to go into things you guys have heard already three or four times, but I just want to leave you guys with one thing on and for this amendment. And I just remember last thing I said when I spoke the first time, the duty of the legislature is to protect and promote health of our citizens. It's the duty of us to promote that for the health of our citizens. It's our duty to see that their well-being. We owe it to our constituents to allow this discussion to happen, and I'm thankful for this discussion happening and honored for the amendment.
Anyone else before the sponsor of the amendment for the second time? Representative Dan Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'll be brief. And I don't mind admitting to you that I went without health insurance for 5 years. It wasn't until this year I became a student that I'm back on health insurance. The joke was I would have to get injured in my car so I could get auto insurance to cover my medical problems. And so it is kind of frustrating to me that, you know, we can all talk about ideology and the politics and beware of free money. But I will submit to you that when you're in that situation that I was, or you're in a situation of declaring medical bankruptcy, or you're just you're sick and you're too darn afraid to go to the hospital because you can't afford care, the fact that Wyoming is currently bargaining and negotiating with the federal government really doesn't matter to you very much. It has, and I'm not sure if that's what you want to go back and tell your constituents, is I'm sorry you had an unexpected problem in life, and but we're bargaining for the next year, and maybe next year, you know, we'll provide some of this coverage. And I know that's a little extreme, and that's not the case, but every now and then it is, because there are people that, you know, for a lot of people in their 20s who just start out working, they can't get health insurance right away. and a lot of senior citizens. And things happen unexpected. Bad things happen to good people, and they get caught in this. And maybe in my line of work, I see it more because we work in an auction company, and when people declare medical bankruptcy, we're the ones who sell their vehicles and start selling off their possessions. And so I'm probably a little closer to some of the tragic stories that happen out there. But I'd ask you to have an eye on the amendment. I think most of us are aware we are going to take this step eventually this year, next year, the year after. Might as well do it today. Thank you for the great debate. That was one of the better debates we've had this session.
The question being called and a request for the ayes and noes. Roll call vote, Chief Clerk.
Baker.
No.
Barlow.
No.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Blevins.
No.
Bleckrie.
No.
Brown.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Coleman. Coleman conflict. Connolly.
Aye.
Davison excused. Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
Filer. Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
No.
Gingery.
No.
Goggles.
Aye.
Greer.
No.
Green.
Aye.
Halverson.
No.
Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
No.
Hunt.
No.
Hutchings.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Kasparic.
No.
Kirkbride.
No.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
No.
Larson.
No.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
Miller. Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
No.
Patton.
No.
Paxton.
No.
Petroff.
Aye.
Piperinen.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Semlick.
No.
Summers.
No.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
No.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
No.
Walters.
No.
Watt.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
No.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker,
no.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 11 aye, 47 no, 1 excused, 1 conflict.
The Second Amendment to Senate File 60 has failed. Representative Filer, privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Pro Tem, if everybody look in the north gallery up here, there's a lot of members from the Brotherhood of Locomotive Engineers from all around our state, a lot of them your constituents, and I'd just like to welcome to the House.
Welcome to the House. Thank you. We are at that time for the third amendment to second reading, Senate File 60. And that would be Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, pro tem. Okay, friends, I think this one will be a little simpler. Should not have that much room for debate. I move second reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 60 and ask for your favorable consideration. Yesterday, we passed an amendment requiring, and this is, again, the Medicaid reform bill, in case you forgot what we were on after all of that, requiring the health department to provide technical assistance programs for certain Medicaid providers. After reviewing the amendment a little bit more, it seemed that the phrase technical assistance program in the list of topics might require a project that it really is beyond the scope of the department's capabilities and beyond the scope of the appropriation that was in the bill for studying other things. So this amendment does three things, and it's just in case you can't find yesterday's copy, it's to the longer of yesterday's amendments. Just for clarity, it deletes yesterday's Davison amendment, not in concept, but just mainly because of the location. And so the amendment does three things. First of all, the original language was placed in the bill to just train the providers of services to the developmentally disabled. And so first thing the amendment does is relocates the requirement for education so that it would apply to all the providers who I think could benefit from the education, not just a particular providers of particular services. And then as a result, it draws in issues that are of interest to the whole range of providers, not to just this particular group. And then the third thing that it does is that it's more specific that we're just looking for informational materials to be distributed to the providers before the changes are implemented.
Reading the original amendment, it could have been interpreted that we were looking for a statewide in-person training for hundreds of providers, which is really beyond the scope of what the department has capability to do. So I think this amendment clarifies our expectations, and I would ask for your aye vote and stand for any questions.
Chairman Harvey?
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. And essentially, I think that this is a fair amendment, but I will tell you that the department does have and does do on an ongoing basis training and with all of their implementations, and they have very good systems in place to do that. So I'm neutral on that part of the amendment. I think that if you look at the Davison Amendment from yesterday and all of the changes that they're asking for, that this amendment does further simplify that. So I would urge your aye vote on the amendment.
Representative Coleman.
Just really quickly, because I know that the bringer of the amendment wasn't here, but I did work with her very closely on this particular piece. I understand some of the concerns if you think that it's getting beyond the scope of the department, but I personally did speak to the individual in charge of this particular initiative who had no issues with it the way that it was originally written. I also believe we included the language to the best of the department's ability to sort of weed out anything that went beyond scope or an expectation that might be beyond what they were able to do. There was no appropriation included, so it's not like we were asking them to go out and do the one-on-one or anything kind of fantastic. I would encourage the body to vote against this amendment, and I suppose if it passes, Representative Davison will just have to wait until Monday and deal with it then. But just to reassure the body, the way that this amendment was passed yesterday, the department didn't have a problem with it at all, and this was pretty inclusive of all of the concerns that were in particular with the DD waiver program, not necessarily with the other program, because the other providers from the other two sections of that bill were not the providers who were coming to us and saying that this was such a dramatic effect on their business model. So they weren't really at the same risk for losing their ability to provide services like the DD waiver community service providers were, and that's what we were trying to avoid. We don't want to be putting ourselves in a position right now where we're losing service providers. This guidance was, as I said earlier, the department had no issues with what we had put in this amendment, so I would encourage you to vote against today's amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. There's been a lot of discussion about this bill from a variety of different aspects, both in committee and now here on the floor. I certainly appreciate the what we're doing. My concern with this amendment that's before us is that we're saying that they have to do all this assistance before anything can be implemented, before the changes can be put in place. And the current amendment on it from yesterday, the first reading amendment, says create it while we're implementing it. So, at what point is enough? When are we well enough trained to start implementing the providers? So I would, if this amendment passes, I'll bring a third reading amendment to strike that before any program changes are implemented. If it doesn't, obviously it'll be a moot point. But I'm concerned about stopping anything that we're asking the department to do before they can even get started because of a training process. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? For their second time, prior to the sponsor, Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. I think it's sort of a matter of philosophy here, there, and I have to say that in talking to the affected department, I didn't get the same impression as the representative from Sheridan County got, obviously. I would just ask you to look at yesterday's amendment and just visualize, if you will, the state agency going out to, let's say, 800 or so providers that we have and providing guidance to them on how they should staff, how they should train, what to do with their clients, which I would think providers already know how to take care of clients that come and go, how that they should how this, to look, say, bring me your account books and I'll tell you how these billing changes are going to affect your personal account bills. Tell me, it just seems to me that this is, this original amendment has the potential for just, I don't know where in the department you're going to get people who are small business specialists that can really go into all these provider situations and make these suggestions for staffing and for budgeting and for accounting and for organizing in their own individual communities. It just sounds like it has the potential to be enormous. So what I was trying to do philosophically in this amendment that I'm bringing, and by saying do this before implementation, I'm visualizing, and in talking to the director, a couple of page glossy flyer that goes out to all the providers and say, hey, heads up, we're working on the rules and regulations now, but these are the changes that you should foresee coming, and these are the essential things that are happening, the kind of flyer, not the 40-page manual that they might get and have to pour through later, but sort of a heads-up educational material that alerts them to what's coming and gives them general guidance. But I think to really get into such a variety of possible providers and their individual inside their business needs, it seems to me that it really isn't something that the state agency is going to do. So, I ask for your eye on this amendment.
Okay, hearing no further discussion, calling for the question, all those in favor of second reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 60, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
The amendment fails. Having had hearty debate on Senate File 60, two separate times, the question shall be that the bill be read a third time. Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 61.
Senate File 61 from the Management Council, an act relating to revision of inadvertent errors.
And we have an amendment. Chairman Semlich.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move second reading amendment to Senate File 61 and ask for your favorable consideration in the bill that we worked on with conservation districts. We left one notation out there with a particular section. It's just a technical correction. I urge your support.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. This is a friendly amendment. It probably deserves another half hour of debate, though, because it is the last day of general file.
Are you really sure, Mr. Speaker? Any further discussion on second reading amendment 1 to Senate File 61? Hearing none, question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Senate File 61 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 69.
Senate File 69 from Select Water Committee, an act relating to water development projects.
Having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 77.
Senate File number 77 is introduced by Senator Schiffer, an act relating to construction of community college facilities.
Senate File 77 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for consideration is Senate File 103.
Senate File 103 from Senator Escobel, an act relating to child protection.
Senate File 103 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 106.
Senate File 106 from the Appropriations Committee, an act relating to projects funded with abandoned mine land funds.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. I wish at this time to withdraw the amendment until a later time.
Thank you, Representative Madden. The next amendment for consideration is Representative Yagi, Amendment 2. Representative Yagi.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was looking for the First Amendment to go first. This amendment is part of the discussion we had yesterday, and if you'll... Madam Chair, I move Second Amendment number 2 to House Bill 106. If you'll get this out, this was one of the things that I asked for in the LSO and the good chair of appropriations. Went to a lot of work. Well, the finance guys did the most work, but this shows a little bit of what we're doing with AML funds. I will tell you to start with, there's two directions that the AML funds can be spent in. One is for remediation, and if you look on this page, the remediation in the purple, the substance, it's a very small part of it. I just thought that was interesting. And the next page goes along with that. That shows you where the remediation, the actual reclamation is taking place. And if you look, Sweetwater and Fremont have, of course, the biggest ones that have that. And then you get into the third page, and that's what I asked the good chair to come up with, and they did. This shows the projects that were funded, how much is spent, how much is left. And I just, a little sidelight, there's 31 of those that are UW. So there's a large bunch of those going in. And another paper that I handed out, a couple of weeks ago, I just call your attention to, I don't think you'd still have it, but it talks about the total funding going to UW. It's over $500 million in the last 2 years. Just thought that would fit into what we're discussing right now. And then if you look at the last page, this is where my amendment deals with the second, the middle one down, the blue one. And this is the amendment that we're having. What I did is looked at that, and as we go through here, as the discussion was given, the clean coal technology that we had with one of the major companies is not going to come to pass. This had, I think, $10 million in it, and my amendment also does say if the $9 million isn't there, whatever's left will go. But what I did is I looked at this and said, well, if we're not doing the project that we said we were going to do, then let's not put this $9 million, whatever it is, in a coffee can for UW. Let's put the $9 million into the fund that should go to, and that's our LSRA, our spending account. Now, if you look at this $9 million, when I first thought of this, I thought you can't do that because that's AML funding. That is not AML funding money. That is general fund money. So we legally can do that. And the amendment goes about in such a way that talking with the finance guys and the amendment producers, they undid a little bit. So this is actually general fund money, so we can do that. And what the amendment does is starts on line 4 and deletes over to line 7 all of that $9 million spending. And what the new underlying line said is if we have a project that is for the minerals to value-added products, so if they come up with another project, then they can spend the $9 million on it. Well, we don't do that, folks. We fund a project, and if it doesn't work, then we get the money and we fund something else. So I'm saying the project didn't go. Let's take this $9 million. Let's put it back in the LSRA, and we can have that money to do what we want with that, at another day. And the Section 7, page 12, line 22, is the one that undoes the, we put AML funds, then we put it here, and so that's just something we need to do. LSO had to do that. So in essence, that's the bill, or that's the amendment that says the project didn't work, let's take the money back, let's put it in our account instead of a savings account for UW, and if we want to fund this project or another project, we can do that.
Chairman Harshman.
That's it.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. Just kind of a point of order. This does not go to the University of Wyoming. And, folks, if you look on page 4 of the bill, line 7, this is almost patented language that we did with the data center proposals, where we try to maximize and incentivize folks to come to this state. And so you can see that it is goes to the governor's office for the purpose of supporting. So this has nothing to do with the University of Wyoming. That's point number one. Secondly, Madam Chair, is that our language in these amendments to the AML bill really tightened this up. That's the thing. We tightened this up. And the whole idea is that is to really move us up the food chain with our minerals. I mean, right now we're a colony. We just export BTUs every day, most of them by rail and several by pipeline, day after day. And the idea then, and we've done a lot of people in this body and both bodies and have worked to really add value to those minerals. And so that's one point on this. But members, the handout that was referenced, I apologize. My name did not get stamped on this, so it comes to you blank, but I submitted this to you. If you would turn to page 1, I really should have done this yesterday, and I apologize, I think, just to clarify some of these issues. And I can show you exactly where these dollars are at that are in question. And so on the very first page, if you would look on from year 94 up through year 07, and you see those light green amounts? Well, those were when we had a program under previous governors called a public facilities program. And legislators didn't decide what facilities got built. But those were basically the AML dollars that came about $20 million a year. They came to the state year after year. You can see some years we spend more, some year we spend less, starting in 1983. Well, in 94 started a new program called public facilities. And we built roads all over the state with this. We bought ambulances and fire trucks in our communities. I think we built the hospital in Sheridan. We built the high school in Gillette. I mean, there were a lot of impacts that this group, that this body gave the power to go ahead and flesh those out, much like a commission. So that's what those green pieces are. But then you see this real ramp up starting in 08, and I don't know what color that is. It's kind of a light blue. And that all goes to what are called prior balance funds. See, because we've been paying this tax, and Wyoming pays most of this tax. And so our good senator who spoke at this mic from the land of all this coal, he's the one that got this done in 2008, that released these prior balance funds. And the deal that we had at that time, it was like $80 million, $83 million, up through, I think, 2017. We were going to get back payment for these taxes that we had been paying and the federal government had been holding on to. And we called those prior balance funds. And so that's where you see the tremendous expenditures in those years. Those other colors underneath those are the reclamation projects that have been going on forever. But kind of coinciding with this prior balance funds, the good senator back in Washington who I referenced also began a ramp up of the regular reclamation funds that I referenced were around $20 million a year. Well, they just gradually started building up, and then last year they peaked at $60 million. Well, the amendment in the middle of the night from a senator from Montana that reduced all this, eliminated after this fiscal year down to an equal number with our state to the north at $15 million a year. So you're going to see this drop off. Now, those will still be AML bills. We still have some money that has reverted and we haven't spent, and we'll continue to spend that. But that's the story of AMLs. It's been really two pots of money. The regular reclamation that we've done for the last 25, 30 years, and then this prior balance money that was this big chunk of money that was going to go away It's just that it wasn't going to go away till like 2017. Okay? So that's page one. Page two, as was referenced, if you'd flip over, those are the reclamation projects. So if you look at the red in the middle at Fremont, that's uranium. That's reclamation projects that are going on to old uranium mining sites. You can see all the work in Sweetwater that's been done. $110 million in mine reclamation sites. Okay? So we've done a tremendous amount of work. And these are not legislative appropriations. We don't even see this. This goes through DEQ through a process they have. Okay? The third page, it has a yellow bar across the top. These are, in fact, the legislative appropriations that we've done since 2008 when we got this big boost in prior balance funds that we talked about on the front page. And so you can see on the left-hand side, that column are the sessions in which we appropriated these dollars, 2008, 2009. And I would reference in the third column over where you have these, I think they're kind of a purplish colored box, 6.3 million, 4.2. These are projects that we've changed, where we allocated money, we came back and changed. And like this UW Clean Coal Technology Research, it's in bold. It's 6 million there now. That was an original appropriation of 40 million. And we come back a couple years later, it was too much money, it couldn't be spent. And so I'll show you where we spent. Some of that would be on the next page. And those are under the 2010 session. And some of these that are in purple, the SER strategic areas of concentration with equal matches and so on. But I want to take you to the bottom of that purple box, and you see the even 10 million. It's AML 100032, and it says YDOT, highway projects. You all see that? That's the 10 million swap for the arena auditorium. There was never a receipt given to the federal government. There was never a mention of it. It went to build highways. And there is highway building throughout all of this. So if I could probably show you some of that. There's a road in Carbon County, back to the previous page, for $10 million under the 2008 session. Under those public facility previous projects, there were millions spent on roads. But on that same page where I showed you the double A swap, at the very bottom in the 2012 session, you can see YDOT, $40 million. So we paid for road construction, $40 million of that. Now, and that was a swap, frankly, of a couple things. $30 million was Madison. $9 million is this money right here to the governor's office that's questioning this amendment. And $1 million is for buses. So the first amendment that was withdrawn was, frankly, general fund. We've already swapped that money. It's already gone to build roads. So that's through those appropriations. Flipping to the last page, and this kind of explains the bill a little more, really some key areas. As you know, this is an amendment to the work we did, the budget bill last year, the AML budget bill. Now, you can see in the left, if you're on the last page, three blue boxes. They have arrows going to the yellow boxes on the changes we're trying to make. So this match we talked about, or the University of Wyoming Arena Auditorium, we had bonding requirements in there that had nothing to do with AMLs. We removed that, and we modified the matching contribution we have in our statute. It's $25,000. Somebody writes a check to the university. We allow them to match that when we have money set aside, state money. We never had that requirement. So what we had in the bill last year, they had to raise the entire $10 million to get the $10 million. And so we put that in line with what we've done for the last decade at $25,000 increments. So we reference that statute. And then we ratified, and I think the good vice chair of appropriations, because everybody felt the sting of this, and this was used as an excuse. And the law on AML dollars, those prior balance, is very clear. It's up to the legislature's discretion. We've built roads with them. We've built buildings with them. We've funded professors with them. We've done all kinds of things with them. We even called back and asked on this. And I would say not a dollar of AML dollars were spent on the AA. Not one dime. And so this ratifies that, and we wanted to put language in there to make sure we said that clearly, that they were never spent. The other area in this bill is the minerals to value-added products. That's what this amendment's about. We modified the requirements. This would be a multi-billion dollar plant. It'll be a huge deal if it comes to our state. And so we ratified and narrowed it down that this $9 million could be used towards the end of the project on late design or construction. And again, we modeled it after the data centers and really tightened this language up. As you know, we had a major Fortune 500 company, the largest tech company in the world, move one of their data centers to Cheyenne through our efforts. And then finally, this GE gasification project, we talked about it yesterday, but there's basically $43 million left. It redirects $30 to the Gillette-Madison project, so we'll end up, we still have about $25 million out there to finish our commitment. And then this $13 million to the College of Engineering. You can see it in the bill, 10 goes for the building of it, and 1.5 for a coal area niche, and a 1.5 for a natural gas endowment. And then that $8 million, and I think the good member of appropriations who brought this bill, there's $51 million was the total amount, but we already have spent $8 million. We owe $8 million. So there's about $43 million left. So 30 to Gillette Madison, 13 to UW College of Engineering is how we spent that remaining 43. And then finally, that last yellow box is it deletes those any unnecessary provisions in the bill. And I would add one more box that's probably not on here, and it's this issue of the chicken or the egg with natural gas. And really, that was a House Appropriations Amendment. We were following the floor's lead on this because the floor said clearly, we do not want to get in the filling station business as a government. So we frankly changed that and thought, okay, we'll go with the chicken side of this. It's general funds. They've already been swapped. And because if the egg comes from the private side and builds the facility, the fueling station, we'll be able, because, of course, University of Wyoming, there's no parking, very little on campus. They're all satellite lots, and the buses running all day long. It'd be a perfect place for it. So that's, we were trying to follow your lead on that, and I guess that's up for more debate. So, to clarify, vote no on this amendment. This money goes to the governor's office, has nothing to do with the University of Wyoming. And again, I think we've done is tighten it up, and we're trying to get Wyoming out front to turn gas to gasoline, coal to diesel, all those things that will really move us into the next arena from a colony to a real, real genuine exporter. So thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. I'm going to follow the code of the West and try to say little and make my point. First of all, I'm against this amendment. I urge you no vote, and that's my say more, take less, and vote no.
Majority Whip Stephenson.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. I just wanted to clarify one point on this $9 million because I think the sponsor of the amendment may have, at least it sounded like this was part of the GE money. This is not part of the GE money. This is a program that was developed really over 2 years of interim work. When it came in the AML bill last year, the Minerals Committee had been working on this issue throughout the interim, trying to figure out, as has been consistent with the way we've spent AML money, how we can use that money to help further our minerals industry, knowing that coal's under attack, natural gas fracking's under attack. All these issues are out there, and so one of the philosophical approaches to AML is let's use this to ensure the continued productivity of our natural resources into the future. And that's really where this program was founded in. And so we established it in the AML bill last year. This is not a repurposing of money or and it's not like there was a project that went away, so we just tried to figure out somewhere to put it. This was the development of a program after hearing testimony from industry across the state for a year on where this money could be put to the best use to help further our natural resources and further value added to our natural resources. So just to be clear, and if you look through, just one more point on the good chairman's handout, you look through that list, throughout on the School of Energy Resources, the coal, Clean Coal Task Force, throughout, that's been the focus of this AML money is let's use it as an investment, as a pool of money to invest in the natural resources areas so that we can have a sustainable industry going forward. And that's really all this is. So I'd urge your no vote on the amendment.
Representative Walls.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Pro Tem, I just want to remind the body of where what we're really talking about here and where this really comes from. And that's our coal industry paying a tax on every ton of coal they produce. And that's, it's not an insignificant tax. It's a total of 45 cents a ton on every single ton of coal that's produced in Wyoming between the reclamation fees and the production fees that goes into this AML. In the deal that was referenced at the federal government that our senator helped do back in 2006, that guaranteed, allegedly, we've seen how that worked, to the states 50% of that. And what we're talking about here, as was mentioned before, was just those prior balances. Those of you who read your Casper Star Tribune this morning were probably delighted to read a really nasty letter about me, but also you probably read an article that said that we're not even getting the $15 million that Congress said there'll be a cap at $15 million. Well, the check is a couple million dollars short. It's just a hair over $13 million. So they're applying their fiscal cliff cuts up front to what they've already cut, $700 million out of what's coming to Wyoming. So we've been able to leverage these funds that come to us, thanks to our coal industry, to do a lot of wonderful things that can help all of our industries and to do those value-added things. And this is just the wrong tactic and the wrong place to do it. So please vote no.
Anyone else for their first time? For your first time. Second time, the sponsor of the bill.
Thank you, Madam Speaker Pro Tem. Good information, and I'm learning and learning, and I do want to say everybody really ought to be thankful for the AML funds, because we have just benefited tremendously from them. We're kind of being held hostage, as the previous speaker just said. We didn't even get what we were supposed to get. We should have been getting as high as $83 million per year because of the good work that was done. This amendment is just trying to get exactly the conversation that we have had, and I still think that the money that is there, we could put in the LSRA, have it there for our discretion instead of here in this discretion. And I will say, as I did the research on this, that the university is the one that ends up with the projects that do, you know, depending on whether you're talking about GE or whatever. So I still think this is a good look. And get the $9 million back into the place where we can use it and fund. Thank you.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 106. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Well, we spent 45 minutes for 7 aye votes. Before that, we spent an hour for 11 aye votes. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House recess until 1 o'clock.
You've heard the motion. All in favor of the... Is there another amendment? What? Oh. Senate File 106 having been read 2 separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Thank you, Representative Greer. All right. You've heard the motion. Are there any committee announcements? Chairman Gingery.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If committee number 1, Judiciary, could meet for 2 minutes just upstairs right now, that'd be great.
Chairman Zawana, sir.
Your committee number 8, Transportation, is meeting with the Light Committee from the Senate right now upstairs for a very short meeting. Bring your priority list, if you would, please.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 9 will meet with the Light Committee from the Senate on Monday morning at 9 o'clock in room H18.
Any other committee announcements? You've heard the motion. All in favor of adjourning until 1 o'clock, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. House is adjourned until 1 o'clock.